once again for Insight with Jack Sogler on the Fort Recovery Internet Radio. Insight with Jack Sogler is being brought to you by the community-minded sponsors you're going to hear during today's broadcast. Without further ado, here's your host, Mr. Jack Sogler.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Insight on this gorgeous Wednesday afternoon. I'm joined in studio by Mr. Neil Spencer. Hello, Neil.
Hi, Jack.
And we have a couple of representatives from Hand Up Village. And we have Bruce Swanger. Hello, Bruce.
Hi there, Neil. How are you?
Good. And we have Mr. Hank Kaiser. Hello, Hank.
Hello, Jack and Neil. How are you tonight?
Very good. So, I tell you what, I think...
We're struggling with the microphone. We'll get that figured out in a little bit.
Yeah. So, we are going to talk about Hand Up Village, and I was really kind of surprised, and I think there's a lot of people that would be, to think about Mercer County needing a group to help with homeless. It just doesn't, you know, I guess if they're not visible, then you don't think they're there to a certain extent. So,
Jack, they're just like you and I. They still have pride. They don't want you to know that they are in need or homeless. So that's part of the problem, that you don't see them. If you walk into Walmart any given night, when it's cold out and they're pushing an empty cart around, they're in there warming up.
Yeah.
I mean, I had no idea there was this many people out there until I got involved in this.
So, Bruce, you've been involved in this type of a project for quite some time now, right?
Yeah, I actually got involved with... before the Hand Up Village was the House of Hope, the Women's House and the Men's House, and then a few other things, and met Pastor Rick Brozier. Their church was running three cabin facility out there, and it was just becoming overwhelming for their church, and we just kind of put a new team together, and the rest of it's history. But Rick started it in 2005, and then we got together in 2015. Hank, does that sound right?
Yeah, he started in 2015.
2015.
It was 2019 when we formed.
Yeah.
Okay. So, first of all, let's talk about how each of you became involved in this project. Okay. So, Hank, I'll start with you, because you certainly don't have a background necessarily in you ministry or the homeless, and yet you find yourself kind of in the thick of things here.
Well, yeah.
That's what you get for Karen.
Yeah. The problem is I had no idea they were homeless, and when Deacon Cliff Perryman suggested that he was going to a meeting on the homeless in Mercer County, I thought, I didn't know he had any, but sounds interesting. So I tagged along, and that's about all it takes. Pretty soon you're on the board, and you're building cabins, and you find out there is such a big need for people. I mean, it doesn't take a lot for somebody to fall into the trap. I mean, if you're living paycheck to paycheck and your car breaks down, you don't get to go to work. And then you lose your job, and pretty soon you're out on the street. And then after listening to a couple of people out there, it's pretty overwhelming. I mean, I talked to a couple that were out there, and she was out on the streets at 15 years old. Mom and dad kicked her out, did have a home life. You know, and she hooked up with this guy who his only source of income was dealing drugs for his father, and his sole purpose in life was to take the fall for the father if he got caught. So he had absolutely no self-worth, and yeah. Just amazing.
Yeah.
Wow. kind of different from how we were raised, didn't it?
Exactly. Yeah. We have a safety net. They don't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just. Yeah.
So, Bruce, how did you become involved in the homeless process?
I was just fresh off of the House of Hope, and those are two very successful facilities, and Rick had been struggling with their congregation, homeless village out there, and somebody said, you two guys need to sit down. And so we sat down, and he said, this is what we have. And I told Rick, and we didn't agree at first. I said, we have to take this thing public. And in a project like this, you can't take it public. I always tell people it's like putting in a landfill. Nobody wants it in their backyard. So, and that's what he was afraid of, and naturally so. But finally, we figured out how to take it public in a quiet kind of way. We got the right people behind it. We and made sure we had all the proper zoning. And, you know, if you tell people you want to do something for the good and you can show them that you have a past track record that works, it's a little bit easier. And we had the coalition, which was... What we did at one point was we took the county commissioners, the sheriff, the mayors, some prominent people in town, and we put them all in one meeting and said, we have some problems we need to address, and here's how we'd like to do it. So if you get them, you know, on your team before it hits a newspaper, it helps a lot.
Sure. And I'll tell you what, if you have guys like the sheriff or like a county commissioner that can tell people this is a good thing, then it kind of soothes some of the questions that might pop up along the way too.
Yeah. It sure does. I mean, we've had people out there from what, a newborn baby that the girl just had, all the way up to a fellow from 92 years old that got evicted from his home. He had no place to go. And I'm not talking about transient people or people that are hitchhiking down 127. These are all Mercer County residents. As Hank said earlier, you know, some of them might be living in their car. Some of them might be couch surfing. When we started, we got 3 to 5 phone calls a day. Now we get about 3 to 5 phone calls a week. There's about 20 people out there on an average evening that are residents. We call them guests. And they're all Mercer County residents.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, we're going to take a quick break. And we're going to come back and talk more about exactly what does the Hand Up Village look like. You know, I think we're having trouble kind of, you know, visualizing this. So we'll come back and talk more about Hand Up Village right after this.
Hello, this is Zoe from Brick Street Tavern, and we have delicious home-cooked daily lunch specials at a great price Monday through Friday. And now we also offer a second cook's choice lunch special every day. We still offer our regular lunch favorites. We start off each week with Mystery Monday, and our special will be something different each week. On Tuesday, it's our meatloaf dinner. Wednesday, it will be our famous 3-piece chicken dinner. Thursday, you can get a tenderloin with fries and applesauce. And on Friday, we have our big half-pound cheeseburger with fries and slaw. And now we also offer a second lunch special every day. Check our Facebook page daily to see what our 2 lunch specials will be. Fast, delicious, home-cooked meals. Lunchtime, Monday through Friday, here at Brick Street Tavern in downtown Fort Recovery.
Farms, family first isn't just a saying. It's our culture.
I like that the company has a value system that I can subscribe to. Things that are important to the organization are also things that are important to me. We have very caring and competent leaders that value family.
Join the family. Apply online at CooperFarms.com. Cooper Farms, more than a workplace.
Hello, I'm Kenny Cadote from K&L Tractor Sales in Fort Recovery, Ohio. K&L Tractor is proud to be the authorized Kloss hay and forage dealer for this part of the Midwest. Whether you need a Kloss baler, hay tool, or forage harvester, K&L Tractor is the place to go. We have the Kloss product you need and the factory-trained technicians to keep you running smooth. So remember, for all your Kloss harvesting needs, shop at K&L Tractor Sales in Fort Recovery, Ohio.
New Year's Eve is coming up, and you're wondering what to do. Here's your answer. The Sawyer Overman Memorial Committee is having a huge New Year's Eve party at the Legion featuring the dueling pianos. We all know that it's a big party when the dueling pianos come to town. Plus, it's New Year's Eve, so this should be a great event. The tickets are $100 per person, and they're available from any Sawyer Overman Committee member or any community club member, and all the proceeds will go toward the Sawyer Overman Ninja Park. The event includes a supper and an open bar, and there will be several side raffles going on that night. Don't miss the big New Year's Eve party featuring the dueling pianos. Get your tickets now from any Sawyer Overman Committee member or any community club member.
Neil never listens.
What?
We're back. Inside. Talking to Hank Kaiser and Bruce Swanger about the Hand Up Village. And I think it makes sense at this point, you know, and Bruce, you had touched on it. So Hand Up Village started out, and I don't know whether it was necessarily called Hand Up Village at the time, but the Lord's Abounding Grace Church, which is a church right on the outskirts of Salina, north, right off of 127. If I'm right, I think it's down a pretty long lane, right? And this church had built three cabins that I think that they used to just kind of help those in need, correct?
Correct.
And then Hank became involved in building number four.
And Rick Brozier had a calling, and he said it went into his heart that he needed to help the homeless. He knew how to build it. He just didn't have any money. So he started collecting money. He built the first three, got things going. They had somebody donate some money to build the fourth, but he didn't have anybody to build it. And I said, well, I can help. And I started twisting arms and asking for help. And through the Sun Ministry Group, we found extra help, and we got that done.
Very good. And now they're up to how many cabins out there?
12. We have 10 cabins for singles or couples and two family cabins. And I think a very strong thing that Rick would want us to say if he was here, because he's still heavily involved on a daily basis. He fathered the whole project. He still oversees it. But Hand Up Village is faith-based, Christ-centered ministry for the people of Mercer County. And faith-based and Christ-centered is the backbone of how we run the operation. People have to go to church. They have to get a job. We have mentoring programs for them as well. Hand Up Village, the reason we call it Hand Up, Jack, you kind of touched on that, is Hand Up Village is not a handout. We don't do a handout. If you apply, you have to apply. You have to go through a thorough background check. You're interviewed by Rick Brozier, and he decides, he says, all these people come to me and they tell me how good they're going to do. You used to be in HR. You know all about that.
Oh, yeah.
And he says, I'll watch you for 2 weeks, then I'll know how you're going to do. But if they want a hand up, if they want a hand up, it's the place for them. If they want a hand out, it's not the place for them.
And that's why they're called guests. We don't charge anything. They're there. As long as they follow the rules, you're allowed to stay, and you will get the hand up that you need. But if you decide that you do not want to follow the rules, you are asked to leave.
So I was going to ask about the restrictions. So you part of the requirements are that these people are willing to attend church, and I'm assuming it's the church of their
absolutely. Right?
And then are there any timelines? Like, do you give them 3 months? Are there any?
It's three to 6 months is the goal. And some of the problems we have is there are no places to transit out because rent is so high. And if they don't have a really high-paying job, which they're not going to get being, in their situation that they're in, so it becomes a very difficult task trying to transfer out. It's something we're working on.
Do a lot of the people try really hard to get out, or they kind of get comfortable there and not paying rent or anything, knowing that there's other people that need help too? Do most of them try to get out as quickly as they can, or is it really hard to tell?
I'd really like to tell you it's 100% kumbaya, absolutely great, but people are people, and some have success and some just don't want to comply. And and there are places that, after 6 months, you can see that they're trying, but there's just no place to go. So they're not thrown out after 6 months.
Yep.
I mean, if they're trying.
And, we had talked during break, my past career, I know that I worked with several people who we interviewed, or they started a job at Cooper's, and you could tell that they were living out of their car. Their entire life possessions was in that car. And as I think back, you probably fired one or two of those guys,
Way to go, Jack.
Yeah, I mean, it is a lot like what you said. If they're willing to work at it and they're willing to follow the rules, you'd love to help them out.
And there are people that have been out there that are doing well. And they're very comfortable out there. They don't want to leave.
Yeah.
They're happy out there.
Well, and like you said, there's not very many rental units that are affordable rental units for people to move into. Those condos along the lake aren't going to be very practical for them,
So. And there's a lot of people that if they have a felony, they can't get a rental.
Yeah.
The landlords won't rent to them. That's another issue. So
sure. So as we talk about, I think I read in an article where on any given day, I think it said there's somewhere between 50 and 75 homeless people in Mercer County.
That's correct.
Okay. And thanks to You Hand Up Village, there's a place for 20 of them, but there's still a gap there. So from what you see, what are the circumstances of the typical person that finds themselves knocking on your door?
I'd say it's a widespread plethora of whatever happened. I mean, if you're in a car and a car breaks down and you're living paycheck to paycheck, you don't have a ride to work. You lose your job. If you get arrested for drugs, in jail, there's so many different reasons people get into a homeless situation that there's no one case scenario.
Yeah, and sometimes it's not even that. It's just, you were doing paycheck to paycheck. Now everything costs 30% more, and now the paychecks went up 10%. you know, that math doesn't work. Now, it works for people that are doing okay, but for people that are on the edge, you know, that just milk going up $1 a gallon, or meat going up $3 a pound, or whatever it might be that's, you know, that's happened in the last 3 years. Just the cost of the groceries is noticeably more. And all of a sudden, you know, you were doing okay and could do some stuff, but all of a sudden now you can't even pay your bills, and you're not you don't have any luxuries. You can't even pay your bills anymore, and that's really tough.
And as we talked off the air before, I mean, we're fortunate in this area to have the safety net of family and friends. Yep. You can fall back on. Mm-hmm. If your family has kicked you out.
Yep.
Say you're a single mother, your kid gets sick. Yep. You have to choose between staying home with the sick child or going to work.
Yep.
Yeah.
What happens?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Sometimes their decisions are just impossible.
Sure. Right. Yeah. you can't pick a good choice. Neither way works. It's really tough to know that there's people around here in that position, and family, if there is some family around, either can't or won't help them. It's just and that's why it's so good to have people like you guys doing things that are doing the best you can to help. You know, you can't completely solve their problems, but you can definitely give them a place to sleep at least, and that's huge.
And it's really not me doing it. I mean, I help because, yeah, I've been fortunate enough to be able to be in a position to help.
Yep.
Yeah, I'd like to just expound on that for a second, if I could, if we just switch to the other foot for a minute. I mean, sure, Rick's the father of this thing, Pastor Rick, and he does a fabulous job every day. But if I go back and look at our fundraising, this community, this whole county has been so gracious. I mean, from the time we needed an extra 3 acres of ground, the adjoining farmer gave us that ground. We needed to add about 2.5 acres of excavation to put in more cabins and raise that. Van Tilburg Excavation came in and did all that for nothing. Hank and Sons built the first cabin. Every cabin that's been built out there, either a club, a group of people, or somebody from Mercer County has given us some money, about $15,000, to build a cabin. We have the TriStar students that have pitched in to help build. We have the St. John Builders. I mean, we can talk about the people at Hand Up, but everybody's definitely pitched in. Nobody's ever said no.
Man, that is a really great thing for TriStar to be involved, because that shows those kids that there are people that have problems, and you can actually go do something. A lot of people would like to help, but have no idea how to do it, or they don't even know that there's things they need to help with. At that age, it's really good for them to learn to give back, I guess you'd call it. Pay it forward, whatever you want to call it. It's just when you get kids involved and they see the need, you've sown a seed that's probably gonna produce for decades.
Yeah, and another thing to add to that, and I'll shut up.
No, we don't want you to. We got another 3 hours.
Yeah. This is your show. Well, the other thing with that, Neil, is you get these TriStar kids out there, and they have...
I can't think of his name.
Brent McGilvery.
Yeah, Brent McGilvery, their teacher, yep. And he's got like 20 kids. Well, you take all these guys from St. John Builders, mm-hmm, that have been building these houses for 20 years, and they come in and help teach these kids.
Oh, that's a great learning
experience. It's a win-win.
Wow.
Yeah. So when, like, it comes to these cabins, I think you said that there were two single or couple
cabins, and then there was 10 single or couple cabins and 2 family cabins. So what do those consist of as far as kitchen, bathroom? Okay.
There's no running water. They have a small refrigerator, a microwave, and a TV. And that is their conveniences. They have bunk beds, single bunk beds that they can sleep in. The family cabins have 2 rooms. The singles are the same size, but they're divided in the middle, so it's a single on each side with an entrance on front or on the side.
Okay. And so you said that there's no running water. Is there like a community bathroom type thing?
In another building, they have showers for men and women. So there's 2 showers for men, 2 showers for women. And they have the restrooms in there. So that's where they go. There's another little area for laundry. We've got so many people out there now that they have to take turns doing their laundry. So there's a rotation. And and Pastor Rick has that all figured out, who does what when. They also have to take turns cleaning the restrooms and showers. So there's not like they're not doing anything when they're just sitting out there. He also encourages them to help them. This is a real good time of the year for them to get rakes, leaves. In the woods, it's filling up with leaves pretty quickly.
Yeah, take care of what you've been given. Yep.
So as you have these places, and I noticed that there was a group. I don't know if they were from Coldwater or Salina that are quilters that donated blankets for these guys a couple of times. So what are the needs from a donation type thing?
Certainly toilet paper and paper towels. They go through a ton of toilet paper and paper towels, as you can imagine. Money always works because Rick buys. He is as frugal a man as I've ever met. He doesn't spend a dime.
It'll be spent wisely.
Absolutely.
We'll take $10. We'll take $100. We'll take toilet paper.
Yeah.
I mean, paper towels. Paper towels and toilet paper. But
is the best way for people to help besides actually being on the board and doing, getting actually hands-on and being in the middle of everything? Just say somebody that wants to donate something or how would somebody go about donating, and you already mentioned what, if it's $1 or $100 or whatever it is, it's all welcome, because we kind of know that when a whole bunch of little money gets put together, you've got big money. So
we have Neil donate page, or on our Facebook page is a donate button. That's about the simplest way to do it. We also have on our Facebook page a number you can call if you would like to. Like Jack was saying, the Friendship Quilters of Coldwater, Ohio, they just called us one day and said, hey, we make quilts. Would you guys like some? So all they did was pick up the phone and call. That's another way.
Yep.
The third way is our address is 7495 U.S. 127, Saline, Ohio. If people would like to write checks for the giving season, again, that's 7495 U.S. 127, Saline, Ohio. Our Facebook page has just about any type of information you would need to find us.
Yep. And if they'd want to donate, like, supplies, they can maybe contact you through the Facebook page and arrange for something to be donated?
Correct.
Yep.
Neil, how about if we take a break?
That's a really good idea.
Okay.
And we'll breathe and eat snacks.
And we're going to come back and talk a little bit more about the people that are coming into to these places, and I think it's important to reiterate again the difference between the hand up and the handout, because I think that is really important. So we'll be back right after this.
Klingchern & Sons Trucking Incorporated is a family-owned and operated business in Burkittsville. They have over 50 years of experience, and they pride themselves on their commitment to punctual transportation and exceptional customer service. They offer local and long-haul transportation. They have dump trucks, stone slingers, flatbeds, vans, and refrigerated trailers. They have great employment opportunities as well. Visit their website at klingchernandsons.com or call them at 937-338-5000. Call Klingchern & Sons Trucking for all your transportation needs.
Hull Brothers in Fort Recovery is now hiring in their service and parts departments. Hull Brothers sells and services both farm equipment and lawn and garden equipment. Full-time employees enjoy generous wages, health insurance, paid vacations, 401k contributions, annual bonuses, and more. Since 1896, Hull Brothers has served area farmers with skilled and dedicated employees. Consider joining the Hull Brothers team. Apply today at Hull Brothers in Fort Recovery.
If you're looking for great food at great prices, just call Miracle Lanes at 375-4274. They have sandwiches, fried goodies, subs, salads, wraps, and of course their famous pizza and wings. Everybody can get what they want. Just call them and drive through and pick it up. And be sure to stop in on Fridays at lunch for their famous pizza and wing buffet. Make Miracle Lanes your number one spot for great food. Be sure to put their number in your phone and just call them whenever you're hungry. 419-375-4274. The Friends of the Fort Recovery Library will once again be hosting their annual Fort Festival of Trees display at the library from Monday, December 4th through Saturday, December 30th during normal library hours. Families, local organizations, businesses, and individuals are invited to participate in this very popular event by entering a decorated tree or wreath for the display. The tree can be 3 to 7 feet tall and can have a theme, promote your business, celebrate an achievement, can honor a loved one, or decorate a tree just for the fun of it. Hundreds of people stop into the library every year to see the trees and vote for their favorite. If you'd like to decorate a tree, please stop by the library or call them at 375-2869 for more information about participating in this year's Fort Festival of Trees.
We're back. I was serious that time.
The Christmas music was still playing.
Oh, was it?
Yes.
Fa la 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 la.
Well, no.
I love Christmas. Neil, what about you?
Yeah, you love me too. Yeah. I love you. I like Christmas, but I don't like it getting started so early.
So, we're talking to Hank Kaiser and Bruce Swanger from the Hand Up Village, and I know that we can't get super specific about the individual stories, I guess, but to think in Mercer County, you know, that we have 92-year-old homeless or a young pregnant girl that's homeless or any of these things just seems incredible.
It doesn't look like the normal homeless that you see in New York City where you have tents on the sidewalk. That's what people visualize when they think of homeless. Our homeless are mobile. They're in our large box stores. They're in our state parks. In the summertime, this was something I learned. In the summertime, they might be eating out of your garden and you don't even know it.
Yeah.
So,
you'd mentioned that they're different than what you might see in the city. And yet, there's also some similarities too, because you touched on the fact that while in many cases these are good people that are undergoing some tough times, there's also some that have physical challenges or some mental things that they're dealing with too, correct?
Yeah. There was a young man out there. I was redoing some of the siding, and he volunteered to help me. And I would take the siding off and hand it to him. I said, "Now just lay it down so we can put it right back up the way it came off." And I looked back, and it was just helter-skelter. And Rick told me, he said, he looks like he's old enough to know, but he's got the 7-year-old mentality. So how does a gentleman that looks old enough but doesn't think old enough?
Yeah.
He can't survive in our world.
Yeah.
I mean, just...
And just think about it. If his parents are gone, or he didn't have any brothers or sisters, or they moved off when they got married or whatever. I mean, what's a guy like that supposed to do when his mom or dad dies, Well,
and that's what I talked about earlier, the safety net. I mean, if they don't have the safety net that you and I enjoy, I mean, it just becomes an issue.
So, how, when, like, you look at a 5-year plan, okay, in less than 5 years, you've gone from 3 to 12, I don't think there's any reason to assume that this is suddenly going to fix itself.
And that's the problem. You say, well, if this is working, why don't we just make it bigger and more? Well, we are kind of landlocked. We are also at the maximum capacity for electric without doing a lot of infrastructure. The bathroom facilities are going to need expanded. So it becomes a bigger issue to try to add more cabins.
Yeah, if you add one more, you might get by with it. If you add two more, you're...
Yeah.
And do you even have the land to do, let's say, 5 more or whatever it might be? Those are all things that you have to get figured out, in addition to what you talked about with the electrical system upgrade, with the restrooms aren't going to be enough for the people now. And it's just going to be, you do what you can and hope that some people can, a group, a person, a bunch of people come along and donate whatever is needed to take care of stuff like that.
And if in the event they find a way we can transition them out faster, mm-hmm. to someplace,
yep.
that would be a help as well.
Yeah.
Because there's no place to go right now.
Yeah, and that could be a very good thing.
Economically.
And maybe there are government entities that could help a little bit with that. I don't know what kind of grants are available where somebody could get low-income housing.
So is there any government money that goes into these?
Let me answer the question this way. We're only 5 years old, as you said. We have been very successful at what we've done, but we have a board of directors of Mercer County, people of 12, and we just added a young lady that specializes in mental health, and we developed a strategic planning committee. And what they're looking at right now is the options that we have for the second phase of growth. Here's something that you run into. I don't know before if the county home took care of it, but we have this group of people. You have 3 sections. You have the group that's going to succeed on one end, and on the other end, you have the group that's going to fail. They're happy being homeless. And in the middle, you have this group of people that is always going to have somebody look after them.
Yeah.
That's the challenge. What do we do with those people? We didn't start Hand Up Village with the vision of bringing people in, giving them a hand up, and then watching them for 20 years. That's a whole different ball game. Our vision was bring them in, turn them around, turn them into productive, God-fearing citizens again. Now we're questioning ourselves as a board. If we don't take care of that middle group, who's going to do that?
Yeah.
Jack, I'm thinking that maybe, you know, I don't know if you guys noticed when you came in, we have a wall of things for kind of remembering Rick Ports. Rick would probably be one of those people that fit in the middle. He, you know, his parents passed away. He ended up at the county home. Jack's brother and his brother's wife decided we can't have that. So they got a place for him to stay. Somebody was taking care of him. He ended up being in the nursing home because he had problems that that took actual physical care and all of that they couldn't provide anymore. But there's people like that that are, you know, good, well-meaning people that as you said, family's gone. Somebody has to take care of them. Yeah. And you know, Paul and Kathy don't come around for every single person in the county that has problems like that. Somewhere along the line, we have to take care of that. And you know, we don't want people like that falling through the cracks and just, you know, living on the streets or whatever. You know, that can't happen in Mercer County. We just can't let that happen.
And I'm not so sure in my own mind if that falls under Hand Up Village or if that falls under a brand new organization that has its own mission statement to do that.
Right, because there's, as you said, you guys have your hands full just doing what you're doing, and that middle group of people, that's a whole lot more people.
Yeah.
And you either need to get a whole lot more money and more people involved, or something has to happen because I just don't like that people like that aren't getting taken care of.
You know, and it's interesting because the county home closed, what, 5 or 8 years ago, whatever it is, and I don't know whether very many people thought about what are the future consequences, when it happens. But I think it's easy to sit back and think, wow, that place served a huge purpose, and that's a void now.
Yeah, and it cost the county a ton more money than they could afford to keep that open.
And Mercer County was one of the last county homes to actually close in the state. So, kudos to the commissioners.
So is there government money for a project like this?
There is government money for a project like that. There's grants, but you have to have a plan. It takes it to a totally different level, and as I said earlier, I don't want to speak out of house. I'm not sure that's what this group is cut out to do. It's a need for the county, and you don't want to take something that's running right and running well and overexpand it and destroy it.
Yeah. Well, and you think about Pastor Rick and his vision and his work, and I'm sure the way it is now with him being able to kind of have a hands-on day-to-day role in this, there's a part of it that he's thinking, this is exactly what I did it for. He's you're serving the homeless, which was his goal. And then when it gets to something bigger, to where there's grants to be written and administrative things and all of these legalese things, that's
a whole different animal.
Yeah, and it was good that, and it sounds like you're kind of at the point where Pastor Rick was at the beginning, and once he saw there was more need, but more than they could possibly handle themselves, then they came up with somebody else. And you guys are getting to about that point now where either you have to get bigger or try to find somebody that can do these other things, either through your group or through a separate thing like the Hand Up Village is different from what Pastor Rick started off with. Somewhere along it has to get done.
We're at the point now, we've grown enough out of our infancy as an organization. We need to start making some strategic alliances, yeah. Neil. That's the next step. You're exactly right. We make a few strategic alliances and see where they lead this middle group of people.
Yeah. So as like, you know, you talk about that first third, the third that you really hope you migrates into jobs and their own places and that type of thing. So are there opportunities for them to get assistance from a transportation standpoint, or do you have means for those types of needs?
If we try to get into the taxi service, it begins another whole avenue of headaches. So you try to steer clear of that. A lot of times,
yeah, I'm sure liability is just outrageous these days on that.
They'll ride share with the people who have a car out there. So if one has a car, they all tend to help each other out. It becomes a community out there. They work together really well.
So of the 12 places you talked about, the community piece, of the 12 cabins, how many of them would be new, like have been there for just a couple of weeks, and how many of them have been long timers and have been there for 3 months or more?
Well, I know that there's one out there that was there for 6 months and has been a huge asset helping Rick out with day-to-day operations, and he has now transitioned into the overseer cabin. So he is more of a permanent residence out there. More of a manager, eyes on the ground, helping Rick out.
Good.
But as far as day-to-day, I can't give you a number.
From a new person,
you almost have to look at them as groups. It's when we first started, it seemed like we had a lot of younger families with children that might have lost their jobs, a divorced husband or a divorced wife with a small child. And I want to tell you a story in a minute if I don't start crying, if you remind me. But right now we're going through a group of, I would call them young foster adults. They grew up, they got sent into the foster system, and they get out of the foster system and they come back home, and there's nobody there for them. There's no safety net, as Hank said. So right now we have a lot of probably 17 to 34 year olds out there.
No kidding.
Which, if they're put into the right strategic group, that can be a great help for them.
Yeah.
But we can't be everything to everybody at this point.
Do you find that age group, especially because I think it's the way of the world to a certain extent, as far as the young people kind of migrating away from the church, whichever church it might be, do you find that group is harder to get to connect to a church?
I think it helps the fact that it is a Christ-based faith out there, and that helps them when they get grounded back into the religious orders of things, that they see that there's a better way, and they tend to follow it better. The more they practice their faith, the better off their chances of success is.
That brings me to something that I just thought of when you said that. Jeff Gray was talking about some of the intervention things that the programs that he does. I can't remember if he had an actual number, but it's a huge amount more success if they go to church.
Absolutely.
They get, and part of it might be faith, and I think it probably is, but also there's people there in virtually every church that will maybe not adopt them, but at least talk to them, help counsel them a little bit, whether it's financially or just some advice or help them find something. But he said the success rate is like 90% if they go to church, and it's like 30% if they don't.
Yeah.
They expand their network.
Yeah, yeah. And even if you don't even believe anything that the church is saying, it still helps you. But most of them end up, finally getting back to their faith that they heard about back when they were little kids and decided they weren't going anymore.
Or we call it, they find a new church family.
Yep. Yeah. Yep.
So
yep.
It's kind of that safety net again.
Yep.
Hank was talking about.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
How are these cabins heated?
They have a small unit. It's similar to what you see in a hotel room.
Okay.
So each one has an individual unit.
Very good. I tell you what, we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back and let Bruce tell his story. And so we'll be back right after this.
There's one guarantee in business, and that is that you can never predict the future. Hi, I'm Amanda Segrist with Fort Recovery Insurance. Lots of unpredictable things happen in business. The economy might take a U-turn, or that guy from down the road might take a U-turn into your front door. From a commercial insurance package to a commercial umbrella policy, we can make sure you are covered for the unpredictable. We are your local agent for Ohio Mutual Insurance Group. Visit us at www.fortrecoveryinsurance.com.
You can't predict the future. Well, except that Ohio weather is unpredictable, and sometime in the future, you will lose power. Of course, with the Generac automatic standby generator from Reasoner Energy, you're covered. And for added predictability, now through October 8th, get a free 10-year warranty with your purchase of a Generac automatic standby generator. That's a $1,035 value. Terms and conditions apply. A predictable future is in your hands. Call for details, Reasoner Energy, 419-678-4858.
Wayne IGA has the very popular Cooper Farms mixed turkey rolls in stock for those of us who want to be sure to get what we need for the holidays. This is the perfect time to be sure you have what you and your family are going to want. The turkey rolls should be available all season, but there could be some occasional shortages, and Wayne IGA will have them in stock whenever they're available. Again, Cooper Farms mixed turkey rolls are in stock. Be ready for the upcoming holidays and stop by Wayne IGA today. Our schools will be open to the public for winter walking hours through the end of March. The hours will be Monday through Thursday from 6 to 9 p.m. At the elementary middle school, please use the middle school entrance and walk only in the Main Street Hall. At the high school, please use the Commons entrance. Other walking options in our community are the track at the football field, which will be available most days, and the Paul Stogler walking trail at the community park.
Back insight. Jack and Neil are talking to Hank Kaiser and Bruce Swanger from the Hand Up Village. And guys, I'll tell you what, this has been another quick hour. Especially at this time of year, I think it tends to kind of mean more. I was approached by a young lady that works with the Salina Merchants, and she's a fantastic young lady, and she was asking me about our Fort Recovery Radio Gala that we do each year. And I offered her some advice, and she was worried about you know, what if we don't raise any money? And I, because she had told me that it was going to go to you needy families. And I said, I tell you what, it would help. Fort Recovery Radio will match the first $1,000, you know, that they raise. And we were able to donate $1,000. We actually found out later that it was you're going to the New Hand Up Village, and we're thrilled to be able to help. And you know, I'm sure that the whole community feels good about being able to play some small part. And I hope that their fundraiser works out really well for you guys.
That was Trish Greasup, Jack, I think was her name, and it was for the First Friday Downtown Merchants just the other weekend. I want to say so far it brought in like $3,500.
Fantastic.
And
fantastic.
It's
thank you very much.
Yeah.
And I want to clarify, you said Fort Recovery Radio, and the Facebook page said Fort Recovery Radio. Fort Recovery Radio as an entity did not do that. It's the Fort Recovery Christmas show that these guys put on that raised the money. It's not from technically Fort Recovery Radio, because for the most part, all I do for them is get drinks and snacks like I'm doing for you guys. And those guys put on one of the greatest shows. And, you know, we've raised, what, $600,000 now.
Yeah. Wow, congratulations.
And given away almost all of it. We try to keep some back. And, you know, everything doesn't happen at Christmas. So, you know, we've had great success with it. And that's from people who care, that trust these guys to give it to places where it's going to be important. And so I did want to make sure that's not technically Fort Recovery Radio as an entity of the station itself, but we do the Christmas show, and it's if you've never seen it, it's quite something else. We get some really good local people singing, and then it ends up in one of the dumbest things you've ever seen, the 12 Days of Christmas. It's just those are all in the on the Facebook page, on the videos, and on YouTube. But it's quite something. But it is different from Fort Recovery Radio itself. So I'm sorry about that. But go ahead, I'll let you.
So Bruce, how about sharing your story with us?
I'll try.
Yeah.
Hank and a few of us were out there one day. We had to put an underground power line extension in for the new cabins, and I think it was probably October a couple years ago, and Rick came up to us towards the end of that work day, and he said, I have two ladies that don't even know each other that are coming into two cabins tonight, and they each have a child. And as darkness was coming on, we saw each of these single ladies go into a separate cabin. Again, they didn't know each other. They each had a little 3-year-old boy. And the next day we're out there putting the dirt over the trench, and here's these two little 3-year-old boys, about 10 o'clock in the morning, found some plastic balls, and they're playing with them in the sunshine, just like they're at a playground at a school. Yeah. They didn't know each other's name, and they had no clue where they were, but I can guarantee you those boys were having a good time, and they will never, ever remember that they spent part of their life at a homeless village.
Yeah. And they...
I'll never forget that. Yeah.
And they found a brother that they never had.
Yep, exactly. You know? Exactly.
Yeah. So, and you know, it is stories like that. And I'm sure if Pastor Rick was here, that he could probably share almost daily
he could write a book.
Conversations that he's had that reflect on why you're doing what you're doing and what it means to people in these, you know, different circumstances.
If you just listen to the phone calls he gets daily, I ask him how he can handle that, because every story is just as dire and needy as you could imagine.
And I'm sure, like, on the flip side of that, there's probably times when Rick has to say no to somebody that he'd really like to help, either because of a lack of cabin space or that type of thing.
It happens daily because... Yeah. I'd love to help, but I can't. He had an issue one time. The cabins were all full. The lady said, I got to have a place to go. I'll stay wherever. He put her in a tent out in a little play shed. And she was happy to have a roof over her head.
Yeah.
I mean, if you wanted stories like that, they just go on forever out there.
Yeah. So, you know, you've talked about the many... donations, you know, when, like, you think about a farmer giving three acres of land, I mean, you know, that's at least a $50,000 piece of property there. Yeah. You know, and you talk about the excavation and all of these. Are there other businesses that you connect with as far as jobs or donations or those types of things that you find really beneficial?
Well, Cooper Farms has been a huge asset because they've already even had vans come out there to pick them up and take them to work. So I know that's a big help. I mean, there's a lot of other places that have helped. I can't think of any.
Churches have helped a lot.
Yeah.
A lot of individuals.
Yep.
The clubs, I mean, the VFWs, American Legions, the Eagles, you know, they've all put in $15,000 to build a cabin and said, we're not going to put your name on it. And they said, we don't care if you put your name on it or not. There's a lot of good people in Mercer County.
It is incredible. And I'll tell you what, it takes about 10 seconds of being here or living here to really find that out. Because whether it's somebody on the street or a business that you walk into, it's just truly God's country, you know?
Yep.
Small town America.
Okay. Let's take one more break. And then I have a question I want to ask him. And I can ask him during the break, so I'm not putting them on the spot, so they can have their answers ready. But
sounds good.
So let's take a break, and we'll be back in just a minute and wrap things up.
Fors Welding and Steel in Fort Recovery has 35 years of business experience with over 150 years of welding experience. From lawnmowers to semis, bring it to Fors, where Steve can send a mobile rig to you. If it can be welded, Fors Welding and Steel can do it. Need something made and fabricated? It's their specialty. Call Renee today at 419-375-4087. Fors Welding and Steel, 2 miles north of Fort Recovery on State Route 49, or call Steve for a quick quote at 419-375-4087.
Promotion from within the company is huge, and it's very much supported by the owners.
At Cooper Farms, we value hard work and dedication toward bettering yourself, and we reward that. We know that our team members are the key to our success.
We offer them classes. We help them try to get to that next level. We want them to learn. The people are our asset.
Apply online at cooperfarms.com. Cooper Farms, more than a workplace.
Hi, this is Chad Guggenbiller with CSG Consulting, Finance, and Brokerage in Fort Recovery. I believe firmly in two things. The little things mean a lot, and to be great, you have to be practicing certain tasks, OADB, on a daily basis. That's why farmers, when thinking about your 2023 and 2024 operating monies, come see me for the best value in the market, because operating costs affect you every day, and it's nice having a friend helping you navigate those current market challenges. See me for a free review. CSG Consulting, your partner in planning and the fundamental things. 419-852-4049.
Story time for the little ones is back. Starting in October, our library will once again be having story time for babies through preschool age children. There are two sessions each week, Tuesday evenings at 6:15 and Friday mornings at 10:30. So whether you go to one or both sessions, take your young kids to story time at the Fort Recovery Library, Tuesday evenings at 6:15 or Friday mornings at 10:30.
We're back.
Yes, we are.
And Neil, I think you have a question.
Yep, and I don't really want to put people on the spot, but so
you love putting people on the spot. Well, you aren't kidding me.
I don't mind when they had a chance to think about what they were going to say. So, what I wanted to know what they think is, so they've done a lot of things to help people in need. What has doing this, helping people, what has that done for you?
I don't think we do it for ourselves.
But it has helped you, has done something for you, right?
I think I've been blessed in my life. I'm able to do this stuff. I'm able to help people. I feel called to help people. I mean, the Bible says I'm supposed to help people, so that is my mission in life, I guess, to help as long as I can, do as much as I can and while I can.
Yep. And if people haven't been involved in doing that kind of thing, that it does make you feel better. It feels like you've got an actual mission in your life, that you know you've actually done what you're supposed to be doing. It sounds like what you're saying.
Anytime we've helped people out, they've always been so appreciative.
Yep.
Very grateful.
Yep.
And they just can't go out of their way enough to thank you.
Yep. And that, you know, you don't get anything physical back from it, but you get a lot back from it. Yep.
Bruce?
Mine's a little different. 18 years ago, I went on a non-denominational retreat. It's called an Emmaus walk down in Sydney, and that's when I found the Lord. And I came home that night and told my wife, I said, I've been following the wrong God's home, and I'm going to turn my keys in at Metropolitan tomorrow, and the only boss I'm going to have from here on out is Jesus Christ. And so far, this is a path he's led me down, and met a lot of other great disciples along the way, like Hank.
And it's amazing, thankfully, how many Hank-like people there are around the county. You know,
I have a whole lot of help.
Well, except Hank was the best softball player that I've ever played against. Yeah. So God has blessed you in many, many ways, Hank.
That was a long, long time ago.
Yes, it was. Guys, I tell you what. I want to wrap this up by making sure that we touch on the important things. So I'm going to bring up about 4 or 5 different topics, and you guys say the first thing that comes to your mind, okay?
Okay.
Pastor Rick.
Couldn't do it without him.
Absolutely essential to this whole operation.
And he's kind of the grandfather of this whole project, correct?
Yes.
The number of cabins and where they're at.
They're all directly behind the Abounding Grace Church off of 127 down a long gravel road.
If I wanted to donate, how?
Either Facebook, call, or send it to the address. Yep,
Facebook, and that is Hand Up Village on the Facebook page, Chris.
Yes.
Yep.
The last question. Why do you do this?
Somebody has to.
And you can.
I'm able to do it. I'm going to do it as long as I can.
Bruce?
Give God the glory.
Fantastic. Guys, I tell you what, it's been a quick hour.
In 10 minutes. and we were worried about if we could fill They've been on Spectrum, and that's a fast 25.
It's been an enlightening hour. You know, there's so many people, I think, that, like Hank said 7 or 8 years ago when he heard about going to that meeting about homeless, and you think, well, hell, I didn't know that there was homeless.
Can't be more than two.
Yeah.
Never saw any.
So, you know, thanks for coming, guys.
Thanks for having us.
And we will make sure that we have you guys back again. And if you ever need a voice, you've got Fort Recovery Radio here.
Yep. All you have to do is tell us if you have something special coming up, let us know so we can help promote it. If not, we're glad to kind of get you in. People need to know about this. And you know, I'm one of those people that thought there can't be more than a handful of homeless people, and they just have to be idiots. And that isn't the case at all.
No.
That's 180 degrees from right. Yep. So,
thanks, guys.
Yep.
So, stay tuned for Bubba and Fee on Sports Talk.
Bubba's doing Cooper stuff.
Oh, he has to deliver turkeys. I believe.
Yep. So he's doing Cooper stuff. Fee's gonna. We're gonna talk about stuff.
So, fantastic. Yep. So stay tuned for Sports Talk.
On the Fort Recovery Internet Radio. This show is being brought to you in part by those community-minded sponsors you